Legends, the greatest social casino experience has arrived at Legends.com. With thousands of the best free-to-play casino-style games, chances to earn millions of bonus coins and win real money. Legends is revolutionizing the Vegas experience wherever you are. If you love winning, then you'll love playing at Legends.com. Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Visit Legends.com for more information. Legends with a Z.com is legendary fun.
COTA has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
Cohn, author of our breakdown newsletter, who is going to talk to us about a just concluded Senate Help Committee hearing involving Dr. Susan Menares, formerly the head of the CDC. This comes a couple weeks after she was dismissed, fired by President Trump ultimately, which came a little bit after three top CDC officials resigned in protest over RFK Jr. and what he's doing to the agency. There's a lot to unpack here. Like a metric ton to unpack here. We'll start with the actual most important stuff and then get to the political stuff. There were a few moments where Dr. Menares talked about things that are about to happen with respect to vaccines in this country. We have a very important meeting coming up in the next day and then the day after that with the CDC's Advisory Committee on Vaccines. And they're going to be looking at things like the hepatitis B vaccine recommendations, childhood vaccine schedule, and so on and so forth. There was real news made in this hearing about what's to come. Jonathan, why don't you unpack that? Unpack that for us first.
Yeah, there was a lot of discussion about the Hep B vaccine. Hep B, real quickly, hepatitis B, liver disease. We have a vaccine that we currently recommend is given to newborns right after birth, like the first day now. And the reason is children can get it very easily at birth in their early months. And if they do, there's a 90% chance that they develop a chronic version that can develop into cirrhosis, liver cancer, really horrible stuff. Actually, what I wrote about today at the breakdown in my newsletter is all about this.
Right.
We knew there's been reporting that Kennedy was interested and his people were interested in changing the recommendation and pushing back that first dose. There's been some reporting that effect. There's an item on the agenda for this week. There's this meeting coming up this week to reconsider what is on the childhood vaccine schedule. But we have, you know, the agenda doesn't say what they're considering. And there was just sort of these vague reports. I thought it was newsworthy. And, you know, I haven't seen every single thing written. So maybe this has been out there. But it sounded newsworthy to me that Deborah Howry, who is one of the career scientists who resigned when Menares was pushed out, she said she heard directly from Kennedy and his office that they wanted to push back the recommendation and push it all the way back to 4 years. So
that's
you would have
kids.
So you'd have, you wouldn't get your first dose of the Hep B vaccine until you're 4 years old, which just to think about this for a second, those 4 years, very easy to get exposed to hepatitis B, you know, if not at birth from a caregiver, from an adult who doesn't even know they have. I mean, it's one of those diseases, it's super easy to transmit. And again, horrible stuff happens. People die from complications of Hep B. And again, just to take a story from my newsletter today, you know, I spoke to a doctor who's up in Alaska and used to treat these patients. He told these just heart-wrenching stories about watching children die from liver cancer.
Right.
And we've mostly wiped that out by giving that early dose. And now we have confirmation that Kennedy wants to push it back.
Right. And that was the focus of a lot of the hearing, what was going to happen with the Hep B vaccine. And as you mentioned, Dr. Howry, who was the chief medical officer and the deputy director of program and science at the CDC, she was one of the three that resigned. Let's play this quick clip because there was that. And then there was the vaccine schedule for children, which Dr. Susan Menares says, her quote was, RFK told her, quote, the childhood vaccine schedule would be changing starting in September. Let's play that clip.
Ever communicate he's going to change the childhood vaccination schedule?
Not until that very day. In that morning meeting, he said that the childhood vaccine schedule would be changing starting in September, and I needed to be on board with it.
Did he ever suggest that the president was, that he was speaking for the president?
In that morning meeting, he did say that he had spoken to the president. He spoke to the president every day about changing the childhood vaccine schedule.
There's a lot going on, right? There's the autism study that RFK is supposedly going to unveil this month. There's the ACIP meeting that's coming. And then now this. What could it be in store with the childhood vaccine schedule, Jonathan?
I mean, they could change all kinds of things. They could change the measles recommendation. They could say it's linked to autism, which it's not. I mean, this has been studied extensively, but, you know, Kennedy and his supporters insist that there's a link there. We could see changes in the pertussis vaccine for whooping cough. Pretty much most of the major vaccines now that children are given at one point or another have come in for criticism from RFK Jr., from his allies. And the fact that he's sort of presenting it this way, too, is like, we're going to change this. You better be ready. I mean, this was the whole pretext for what seems to have prompted the final break and how she gets fired is he comes to her and says, are you going to approve, you know, according to her, this is her version, are you going to approve these recommendations from the new committee that I've installed, which he's packed with his allies? And she's like, I can't pre-approve them. I have to look at the evidence. And that leads to him pushing her out. And yeah.
Well, that's sort of the overarching theme of this hearing with Hari and Menares, which is basically they concluded they had been completely sidelined for political people. And Menares was, according to her, was told, you know, you have to just sign off on these recommendations. I think at one point she's told, don't even talk to the career scientists, deal directly with the political people. And then there was, you mentioned measles. Hari had this kind of interesting moment where they're talking about the measles outbreak in Texas that killed a couple of kids. You know, she just reveals that, you know, even though this falls under her jurisdiction, that she has the scientific expertise within the agency to handle these types of things, that she never once was asked to brief Kennedy on the matter. Let's take a listen to that.
Did HHS's response to the measles outbreak earlier this year differ from its response to other infectious disease outbreaks in your previous interactions with the department?
Yes, in several ways. First, I never briefed the secretary, as did the center director who oversaw measles, never briefed the secretary. And an outbreak response, usually you would be briefing leadership. The second thing is he said things like vaccines had fetal parts, and I had to send a note to our leadership team to correct that misinformation. We were also asked to include things like budesonide and clarithromycin in our toolkits for physicians, and I couldn't allow that as there wasn't evidence for that and would result in harm.
There you have it. It's just basically a complete sidelining of the scientific personnel here in favor of the political personnel, which precipitated this decision by the actual scientists to say, you know what, we can't do this anymore, or at least we can't put our names on this, knowing that it could be deeply harmful to the American public.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, look, you know, this is another one of those where, like, there's been some reporting that, you know, during the Texas measles outbreak, there weren't the usual briefings going on. But to hear it from her, from Howard, to say, I was never brought in, is really quite powerful. Just a remarkable statement. I mean, you have this outbreak going on. You have the leading experts on this at CDC, and they're not being consulted. And don't, let's not forget the other stuff she said, which was, you know, she said, like, they were busy sort of basically putting out fires because Kennedy's going out there spreading misinformation about the vaccine, asking them to push unproven or dangerous therapies. And by the way, that, like, when Kennedy was pushing his alternative therapies, you know, taking vitamins or whatever, that had real consequences because you had people, parents who thought this was the right thing to do, kept their kids home and gave them, you know, these treatments that didn't necessarily make
them
better.
Was it Invirectum or whatever the hell it's called? I don't know.
You know, and there was a whole bunch of stuff. Yeah. And sometimes the kids got worse. Sometimes they got vitamin poisoning from certain, you know, supplements they took. So this is really hazardous. And, the pattern here and everything, and this kept coming up today over and over again, is that there are scientists at CDC. You can think they make good, you know, whatever you think about the agency as a whole and decisions as a whole, these are the people who actually know what they're talking about being sidelined for Kennedy's political people. And again, maybe you think the CDC people know what they're talking about. Maybe you don't. Maybe you're not happy with what they did in COVID, but just, do you really trust them less than RFK's handpicked, you know, yes people?
I think you're almost underselling it, honestly, because it's not that he just said, hey, trust the political people more. According to Menares, he had a real hatred for the CDC. I mean, the way she described it, again, this is one-sided, I understand, but I will, and I'm going to stress this repeatedly, this is Donald Trump's choice to head the CDC, who RFK Jr. praised when she was nominated, who's confirmed on a party line vote with all Republicans voting for her. So it's not like, you know, suddenly, and this was on July 29th of this year. So it's not like, you know, this is some holdover from the Biden era. Let's play the clip about how RFK, according to her, described people at the CDC.
He made another set of assertions associated with CDC that were particularly pointed and particularly hurtful and disparaging. He called, in that context, CDC the most corrupt federal agency in the world, emphasized that CD employees were horrible people. He had said that...
Yeah.
I'm sorry. he said that CDC employees were killing children and they don't care. He said that CDC employees were bought by the pharmaceutical industry. He said CDC forced people to wear masks and social distance like a dictatorship. And the one I think that hurt me the most was a particularly vivid phrase he said during the COVID outbreak. CDC told hospitals to turn away sick COVID patients until they had blue lips before allowing them to get treatment.
And it is fair to say, in your view, that those statements are not true.
Those statements are not true.
Thank you.
All right. So horrible people who are, quote, killing children and don't care. That's not like I need to side on these people. That's I detest these people. I think they are bad people. And it really, it makes it incompatible for him to run that agency, frankly.
It does. And look, like I said, this is her recollection. So maybe, yeah, you know, it whatever. On the other hand, we've heard what he said publicly. We hear what's said all the time publicly on social media by people in his orbit. That does not sound out of character. We all saw him.
We saw what he said before he became HHS secretary. It's like verbatim what he was saying about the CDC.
It was. And it's remarkable. And just can we pause for a second and talk about CDC scientists? Again, I'm not here to say they made all the right decisions or make all the right, or they're always right. No one is. But, you know, CDC scientists have enormous skills. They could make gobs of money in the private sector. People like this, they'd spend 10, 20, 30 years working at CDC, making less money than they could in the private sector because they really care about public health. They really care about public servants. And to go after these people, not just say they're wrong, but to question their motives, to say they are killing children and don't care. I mean, that is, it's not the legal definition of slander, but it certainly is the moral definition of slander.
Yeah, no, 100%. Now, look, this was, I guess it's important to step back about the politics at this point, because Bill Cassidy's chairing the committee. He is a sympathetic ear here to Menares, and he clearly comes across that way during the hearings. Obviously, all the Democrats, you know, invested in figuring out what happened between her and RFK Jr. And then you had Tim Kaine even saying, I regret voting against you and saying I didn't think you had the backbone. So there's that. On the Republican side of the aisle, though, there was, I don't know if it was a divide so much as sort of an interesting form of pushback. There was the anti-vaxxers themselves, or the vax skeptics themselves, I should say, Rand Paul and Roger Marshall, both former doctors or current doctors, which is shocking. So they push back a little bit on this, and we can get into the Rand stuff a little bit, although I'm not sure it's worth it. And then there's this other line of argument that came out of nowhere for me, but it was clearly the line that the Republicans were going for, which is they wanted to portray her as a partisan actor, as someone who was being used almost by anti-Trump forces to make life miserable for the president. And they kept on repeating stuff like, who are your lawyers? Her lawyers are Abby Lowell and Mark Zaid, who are both prominent fixtures in the DC scene and happen to represent a number of people who are pushing back against Trump. I would say Abby Lowell, I believe, represented the Trump kids at one point, but putting that aside. And then they kept asking, well, doesn't the president have the right to fire you? Isn't this his call? And she said, yes, of course. I'm going to get to the most interesting exchange with Mark Wayne Mullen in a little bit, but let's play Ashley Moody first.
What attorneys are here with you at this hearing, assisting with your testimony and whispering in your ear? Please state their names for the record.
My two attorneys that are in the room would be happy to follow up with you after the discussion.
So, Mr. Chairman, I would like the record to reflect that you have called a hearing of two people who have hired anti-Trump lawyers. When did you hire them?
I sought their counsel. I believe on the day around on or before the day I was fired.
And is now refusing, now that they're in the courtroom and helping with testimony and passing notes on what to say, refusing to give their names to those of us that may not know their names. I mean, is there a reason you don't want to give their names? Are you afraid that it's going to come unraveled, that you have this whole network of people that's trying to embarrass the president or go after the president, and now you are joining this group? I mean, why don't you want to give their names?
Their names have been publicly associated with them. They issued public remarks early on.
Let me ask your colleague. I've noticed they've also been giving you notes, too, and whispering to you. Will you state their names?
So their names are Abby Lowell and Mark Zaid.
That wasn't too hard. Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
All right, so there you have it. Moody's just sort of like, why don't you name your lawyers? And she just says, they're there. They're right there. You know that it's public record. What did you make of this line of attack?
Yeah, so it took me a minute. You were quicker to pick up on it than I was. I was like, what are they even doing here? Why are we talking about who their lawyers are and whatever? But you're right. I mean, this was, they want to paint her as a partisan actor. This was all some conspiracy, you know, to make Trump look bad. And the easiest way to rebut that is what you just said before, is this just doesn't make sense. 2 months ago, she was their choice to run the agency. They couldn't say enough good things about her. And she's a career civil servant. No sign that she's got any hidden political agenda. In fact, as Tim Kaine apologized at this meeting, Democrats were suspicious of her. There's just no evidence at all that she's a partisan actor. But you can see that's what they're trying to do. They're trying to disparage her. And I think it's telling that, you know, given their 5 minutes, they could have gone after science. They could have questioned her on science. I mean, one of them did bring up COVID stuff, which, you know, again, I think that's a vulnerability. And you want to talk about CDC errors, that's the place to go.
Yeah.
That's not what they did. They're just trying to undermine her credibility as a partisan actor, which isn't going to work for someone they were praising 6 weeks ago.
Well, yeah. And Moody, I should know, Ashley, she voted for Menares' confirmation. So it's like,
they all did, right? All the Republicans?
Yeah, all of them did. Rand Paul did.
Rand Paul doesn't vote for anything.
I ain't voted for that. A couple other notes that I just picked up on, which I think buttress this point. One was at least two senators on the Republican side of the aisle, they're all given 5 minutes to do the questioning. At least two of them couldn't even fill out the 5 minutes. Why is that important? Well, to me, it means that they were very laser focused on just trying to question not her credentials, but her partisan leanings. And once they ran out of those types of questions, they didn't have any use for her. Never mind that she had like blown the whistle on potentially horrific changes to our childhood vaccine schedule, or RFK Jr. not being up to the task of running this agency, or just chaos at the agency, stuff that you would conceivably want to get to the bottom of if you're on this committee with oversight. They were just done once they had that question. And then came this really bizarre exchange with Mark Wayne Mullen, another senator on the committee, Republican, where he heavily implied that there was a recording of a confrontation between Menares and RFK Jr. Now, I need to back up a second here, because when RFK Jr. was in front of the Senate last week, the Senate Finance Committee, he said that one of the reasons he fired Menares is that he asked her, are you trustworthy? And according to RFK Jr., she responded, I am not trustworthy, which Jonathan has said that to me, and I was baffled when he told me that he was not trustworthy, but no one else would admit freely that you are not trustworthy. Doesn't make any sense. Jonathan's not even laughing, but it was a joke. Secondly is...
It took me a second to pick up. I was like, look, Jonathan, I'm running through my head. I'm like, was there a Jonathan on this?
That's
Senate
you, buddy.
Committee. Oh, no.
Yes. Okay. So that we will not edit that out. Secondly is, Menares was asked about this a couple times prior to Mark Wayne Mullen. And she said, no, I never said I was not trustworthy. They said, if you cannot trust me, if you do not trust me, then you should fire me.
And I told him if he could not trust me, he could fire me.
So that's all back and forth. Then Mark Wayne Mullen gets up there and he starts questioning her. And he implies very heavily that there's an actual audio recording of this confrontation and that she should be very careful because she's under oath about how she describes it, and that she knows that it will come out.
It was a recorded meeting. So you can testify one way, or you can prove that you're lying or give him and be honest with this committee. I'm giving you the opportunity to be honest here, because you've been really walking around the edges and not being truthful.
No one that I'm talking to in this universe, at the CDC, in the health community, has any idea what he's talking about. In fact, I texted Mark Zaid after the fact, and I was like, what is he talking about? Do you have any idea? And Mark Zaid sent me an emoticon, and it's this one. So there's that. We'll find out if there's a recording. I'm not, you know, it's not like Mark Wayne Mullen can just hint at it and then not say anything about it. And in fact, Bill Cassidy comes back to the hearing and says this.
I understand Senator Mullen implied there was a recording of the meeting or meetings between Dr. Menarez and Secretary Kennedy. I will note that if materials have been provided to Senator Mullen and invoked in official committee business, they are committee records, and all other senators on the committee have the right to see those records. This is allegiance to President Trump's values, and so I'd ask that that recording be released. I'll also note that we put in a request for any documents or communications that would bring transparency to the situation. We have not yet received those documents. If a recording does not exist, I ask Senator Mullen to retract his line of questions.
All right, so more drama here. Again, I think we're going to find out if there's a recording for obvious reasons. It's just, I don't know. I guess it symbolizes just how everything is done through a political lens, and that's just it. We're doomed to this, because to me, it's like, I don't really give a shit if she told RFK Jr. she's untrustworthy or not. I care what's happening to our vaccines and whether we're disregarding scientists and the fact that the CDC is now gutted. I mean, I think Hari said there's not, Dr. Hari said there's not even a scientist at her level left anymore. So maybe I'm crazy to think that this is a sideshow, but to me, it is a sideshow, honestly.
Well, saying if that's being crazy, I don't want to be sane. Isn't there like a country song or something like that? Yeah. I mean, that was my reaction to me. Look, you know, my entire history as a reporter, Sam, yours as, you know, two people remember a conversation. It's never exactly what one remembers the other. I'm sure there's somewhere in between. I will say, listening to her version and his version, her sounds way more credible to me.
Yeah, but no one says, hey, yeah, I'm trustworthy. Actually, I have a theory of how it goes. This is how it
goes. Okay.
This is my theory. RFK okay. Jr. at one point said, you're not trustworthy. And Menarez replies, oh, I'm not trustworthy? And then RFK Jr. says, see, you admitted it. You're not trustworthy.
Like a fourth grade conversation.
Yeah, like, you just said it. And then that's that. And so suddenly she's screwed. Yeah. No, it's so dumb.
I mean, look, the level we're at, that doesn't sound implausible to me. But like you said, at the end of the day, whether she said or he said that is so far down the list of things we should be caring about when we're talking about, you know, scaling back these vaccines that have saved, you know, tens, hundreds, thousands, millions of lives over the years. We're talking about gutting the agencies that protect us. You know, they didn't get a lot of attention, but it came up a few times. You know, we depend on CDC for, you know, to protect not just against pandemics, but bioterror attacks. And the agency has been decimated. The people who know about this stuff are gone. Are we ready? And that's what's important here. And like you said, Republicans could have engaged on that. Instead, they're engaging in this conspiracy theory about something that doesn't really, at the end of the day, matter. I think just to distract and I guess maybe either avoid political damage or, you know, as usual, as often the case in these hearings, you know, play for the audience of one. Although I get that he was more focused on the other hearing going on today.
Yeah. That would be the Cash Patel one. All right, Jonathan, thank you so much, man. I appreciate it. And I do really recommend anyone who's watching this, read Jonathan's The Breakdown newsletter and subscribe to that. Today's edition, which, as Jonathan mentioned, does look at the hepatitis C vaccine and what could happen if it is to go or even be delayed to the age of 4. It's really deeply important stuff. I mean, it cuts through the noise in ways that I don't think many people are doing. So thank you for that as well, Jonathan. With that, I'll see you later. Thanks, everyone. Talk to you soon.
Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Must be 18+. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 50% bonus on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.